three parts. Okay, so the first part, the king was settling an account with his servants. And apparently there was one servant in particular who owed the king 10,000 talents. So a talent was a unit of money. It could be gold or silver or copper. And the value, you know, it ranged depending on the time or place. So I'm not going to try and calculate for you how much 10,000 talents is in U.S. dollars today. But it's safe to say that this servant owed a large amount. He was in deep debt. And this debt was so deep that he realistically would never be able to pay it off. And because of that, the king sold the servant, you know, his family, and all of his possessions. So think about, you know, all your investments, you know, your bonds, your stocks, your house, your cars, your all your gadgets, and even your own precious family, okay? So the servant, he fell on his knees, and he lay prostrate before the king. There's nothing he could do. All he could do was beg at that point, and to beg, and hope that the king would maybe change his mind. So he said, you know, like, hold on, please, you know, master, lord, king, you know, just give me a little more time and I'll get you your money. And because the servant pleaded so earnestly, he begged so hard, the king, you know, he had compassion and he felt moved and he pitied the servant. And then he did something like unthinkable. He canceled the servant's debt. 10,000 talents, a lot of money, but he canceled it. And the king was merciful and did not give the servant what he deserved. Right? The king was about to, you know, sell the servant, sell his family, sell all his possessions. But the king was merciful. The king was the bigger person, right? The king, you know, let it go. And we think, wow, that's amazing. You know, like, don't you wish, like, you could have someone like that in your life or, you know, have more of those people in your life? Right? So just to recap, right, the servant had a debt that cannot be paid. But the king shows mercy and cancels the servant's debt. Okay. And then somehow in this next part, when I first read it, it left a bad taste in my mouth because the same servant who received such great mercy, he went out and as he was, you know, going around, he bumped into his coworker. You know, for you, you know, it could be your colleague or it could be your classmate or whoever. And when he found this coworker, owed him 100 denarii. This amount was worth about 100 days worth of wages for the average laborer. So, you know, it's still worth some, right? Like, you know, people would care about that. But then look at this. The servant then came and he seized his coworker and he choked him, okay? He choked him. And this, the word choke here is not the same as, like, choking on food or, you know, when an athlete fails to perform. But the word of the use, this word is used to mean applying pressure to someone's neck in order to kill or strangle someone. Right, so it's something that's, you know, that's really bad. Okay, it's really bad. And then the servant, he threw his coworker into prison until his coworker could pay the debt. And perhaps he knew that, you know, if he killed his coworker, he would never get his money back. I don't know. But why do we feel that something is wrong here? Why do we feel that that something isn't right? And in fact, you know, we aren't the only people that might feel that way. Because as we look in the passage, it says that, you know, other servants noticed what just happened. And they were greatly distressed. That's something, you know, like of course, you know, they just saw someone get choked almost to death. So of course, you know, you would feel distressed. But is that the only thing that we see? And here comes the third part, the last part, okay, and pay attention to this. His fellow servants saw this and reported everything to their master. And when he heard the news, he was furious and angry. The servant just had all of his debt canceled, all of it. And should not the servant had been should the servant still have been concerned over, you know, just 100 days worth of wages compared to, you know, an unpayable debt? So the king said to his servant, if you look at verse 32, he says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt, and because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. So the word as here, right, as I had mercy on you, it's indicating there's a comparison between the decision that the king made and the decision that the servant made. The words from the king, we know that the proper response of the servant should have been, you know, one of mercy and forgiveness. Because the king forgave all, should not the servant also have forgave all? So the king then delivered the servant to the jailers until all could be paid. Jesus then ends his parable here in verse 35 with a condition comprised of a warning and a command. Right? I'm just going to read that to us. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. Okay. So I think it's quite obvious here what the condition is, what the warning and what the command is. The warning is that God will not show mercy to you if you do not show mercy to others. So that isn't something to be taken lightly. Right? Don't be like the wicked servant. For believers, we have received the mercy of God, and if we do not put in an effort, if we don't try to show it to others, to extend mercy and forgiveness to others, can we say that we have truly understood the debt that we were in when God showed his great mercy to us? When we were still in our sin and in our transgressions, you know, sinning against God, the holy God, you know, and he forgave that. Can we say that we truly understand that if we don't forgive others, if we don't show mercy to others? And I think what Jesus is trying to say is then, you know, how can you call yourselves disciples? How can you call yourself my disciples if, you know, you don't do this? Because the kingdom of God is one of mercy, right? You are people in this kingdom, so you also must be merciful. So the command here is that we should forgive our brother or our sister from our heart. Right? The Bible doesn't say that it's going to be easy. It doesn't say that, you know, we're going to be able to succeed every time. But the important thing is that we don't give up. So I want to say that I'm more merciful now than I was before, but I'm not sure. You'll probably have to ask my family. But I know that I still have a long way to go. But nevertheless, there are some things that I've tried to do to become more merciful, and I suggest that you give it a try too. So the first one is this. First, you have to recognize, you know, like how bad of a sinner you are, right? Like how much wrong that you have done to God. You first have to recognize your fallen condition, your state. Right? Think about the sins that you have committed in the past and, you know, on a daily basis as well. But I don't want you to dwell on this too long. Right? Then think about, you know, the amazing mercy and forgiveness that you have received from God. So dwell on this. Okay? Dwell on this and soak it in. Soak this in. Dwell on God's mercy and forgiveness to you. The second one is pray and tell God your struggles. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what's in your mind, what's happening. Tell him about how you're feeling, your emotions. Tell him about your hurt, your pains, and, you know, and ask him your questions. Then ask God for strength and courage to do what's right. Ask for wisdom. Ask for the fruit of the Spirit. And third, share your struggles with your small group or your Bible study group. Or your Christian friend, you know, either from church or outside of church. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. You know, support each other. You know, share testimonies with each other about how God has been working in your life. How, you know, God has been, you know, helping you to mature, to become someone who is more merciful or forgiving. So, I mean, it was pretty cool how last night, you know, as Howard, he was teaching about, you know, how two are better than one and how we need each other as Christians, right? Now, I think this is a really good way to apply that, because we need each other. So I would encourage you to take advantage of that. I mean, in a good sense, right? Take advantage of that. Utilize what you have here, the friendships that you have here, the people that you have here, your brothers and sisters. Use that. Don't take it for granted. So if we heed the warning of Jesus and we follow the command, then everything is good, right? Because it's a condition, right? If you do this, you know, then this. If you don't do this, then this will happen. So if we discard the warning, then and disobey the command, then the consequences will follow. So don't take this lightly. This sermon was especially difficult for me to prepare, and it's actually really hard for me to say it, because last week as I was preparing, I was faced with like a difficult situation where, you know, like promises, you know, were broken, and you know, and trust was, you know, was broken, and I was feeling hurt, and I got really angry and confused, and my mind, you know, was all like messed up. Like I could only think of these bad thoughts. And I actually had to stop writing, and I had to just sit there and pray to God. Like, God, like, why is this happening? You know, why do I feel this way? You know, right now I'm trying to write about, you know, how we can forgive and think about all this and studying your word. And at the same time, like I'm having trouble forgiving someone right now. And it really bothered me. Like, I felt like a hypocrite. I couldn't forgive in the moment. And that's what I'm, like, trying to tell people what to do right now. So it was like a slap to my face. And I remembered how difficult it is to forgive from your heart. Right? Because we can say the words out loud or silently, like, oh, I forgive you, you know, don't worry about it, you know, it's okay. But has real mercy or forgiveness been shown? So, you know, here are some questions I'm going to give you, and you can think about it. And you can ask yourself to help you to think about if you've really, you know, gotten over it, if you've really shown forgiveness and mercy. So the first one is this. And I think it's quite obvious from this text. You know, have I been counting the amount of times I have forgiven someone? Have I counted the amount of times that I've shown some mercy? You know, do I find myself telling the offender that this is, you know, the fifth time, the sixth time, you know, the nth time that I have forgiven you? Right? Like, you know, you might say to this person, like, why do you always do this to me? Or what's wrong with you? You know? And it's like when, you know, do I bring up the past to shame or guilt someone? All right, like you might say, look, you did it again. You know, or like, won't you ever change? And let's say you did say, I forgive you. And in your heart, you know, you really forgave the offender. You really tried. But then do you find yourself regretting your decision? All right, this might happen like immediately. Like right after you said, oh, I forgive you, you're like, oh, you know, like, man, that was. It's still too hard. It's still too hard. But it also might occur, you know, later on. It might occur the next day. You might think about what happened, and you're like, you get angry and frustrated again. And you're like, man, like, I shouldn't have let that person off so easily. Like, I should have made that person pay, you know, if just a little. You know, if I could have done just something to that person, you know, I would have felt better. And this one, how about, are you able to resume normal, you know, like, relations with the offender? Like before, you know, do you find yourself unwilling to work together or to spend time with that person? If you feel reluctant, then maybe, you know, there's still something there, right? So forgiveness is the releasing or canceling of consequence, right? It's to pardon someone. So, you know, you really have to let it go, right? So when someone sins against you, you know, it's hard, but treat it as the first offense. You know, keep no record of these wrongs. I mean, it's a hard thing, I know. I'm preaching it to myself as well. You know, I always thought that I was good at forgiving, right? But only until I met someone who really pressed all the right buttons, and then I realized that, you know, I'm not really good at forgiving. I'm not merciful. Right. So at the time, I was serving in the children's ministry at another church, And during one Sunday, there was a performance, a song performance that the children had to do. So they come up and they sing and they, like, you know, do the body motions and stuff. And, you know, someone unexpectedly, you know, asked for like a change in, you know, what we had to do. So all the leaders and the, you know, the children were like trying to scramble and like trying to figure out, okay, well, what are we going to do now? And, you know, as you know, it's really hard to make last minute changes. So during the performance, there were some hiccups and, you know, maybe it didn't go as well as we hoped it would have gone, and after the service, like, a leader from the church actually called all the children's staff over and let us know, like, how bad it was, and that we should be ashamed of ourselves because of how terrible it was. So then, like, the leader came, and then the leader, like, shouted at us and, like, scolded us, like, it was, like, screaming at us, and I felt, like, really shocked and, like, uncomfortable, because I was like, man, I'm, like, trying, I did my best, and I tried, and, you know, like, I'm serving, like, why can't you just be, like, grateful or, you know, more understanding of what just happened? instead of just shouting at us. And you didn't even tell us how to improve or anything. You just, like, scolded us. So, you know, I was really hurt from what happened. And, you know, I couldn't show mercy or forgiveness. I couldn't. It was like, my mind was just, like, really messed up. And I thought about it every day for the next week. Every single day, I thought about it. Like, what did this person mean when they said this? Like, why did they do that? Like, was there another reason? Or, like, what was that about? I thought about it every day. And then I thought about it, like, periodically, like, over an entire month. You know, and in my heart grew this resentment towards the person. And then I felt angry. I felt bitter. I felt hurt. And then this is what I started doing. I stopped greeting the leader. You know, I stopped saying hi. I stopped smiling to the person. I actually couldn't even stand to be in the same room. So, like, I would actually check, is that person in this room? And if that person is, then I'm not going to go inside. And I didn't want to, like, walk past the person either. So, like, I would check in the hallway, is that person there? Or if that person's in the hallway, then I would, like, take a side door and then go through, like, the stairway and then, like, go down the hall, like, find some other way, you know, to get to where I needed to be so I could avoid the person. Like, it was this bad. And then the leader actually realized, like, something was off. Like, something, I wasn't acting normal. So then, you know, the person asked the other people, like, what was going on? And that was when I realized that, you know, like, I'm actually, like, really in a bad position right now. Like, I'm so angry, I'm so bitter, I'm so hurt, and I can't forgive this person. And that's when I realized that I was wrong, and I shouldn't have acted the way I did. You know, if I was able to just forgive and show mercy that day at that moment, then maybe none of this would have happened, right? Maybe our relationship could have been reconciled, and it could have been restored. But because, you know, I couldn't forgive, I couldn't show mercy, you know, all this happened, right? So the only reason why I can share this message with you today is not because I'm really good at forgiving or giving mercy to other people, but it's because I'm a recipient of God's mercy and forgiveness. You know, I'm like recognizing every day how sinful I am and how messed up I am. And then I also think about, you know, that there's nothing I could have done to save myself from my sins, from my debt that I had because of my sins. And when I think about that, I'm in awe and wonder at God's mercy and forgiveness and what God has done through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. Right? And in turn, our proper response should be to show that same mercy that we have received from God to all those around us, right? So, husbands and wives, you know, when there are arguments and when pride is involved and there's selfishness and lack of patience, and, you know, we might try to change each other's bad habits and things like that, and you might fight, I encourage you to show mercy and love one another, to forgive one another. And parents, I'm sure there's also, and children, there's many things that we could talk about when it comes to showing mercy and forgiveness. As children, sometimes we feel that, you know, our parents might be, like, doing a poor job parenting, or they're a really bad parent. We might say things like, you know, why can't you be like someone else's parent? Why can't, like, they let them do this? Why can't you let me do this? Why you got to be so strict or, like, mean to me? And then when things get heated, we might say terrible things. You know, it might slip out of our mouths. We might say something like, you know, like, you're the worst parent ever. Okay, like, and then it gets worse and worse, and you're like, I hate you, right? I remember I've said that before, and when I said it, I was like, wow, like, I can't take that back. It's out there. The hurt's already been done, right? And as parents, these words are really hurtful because usually parents, you know, they love their children. They want what's best for them, right? They make the sacrifices. They do things for their children's own good. But then hurt turns into anger, and then parents might think, you know, like when did I raise such, like, an ungrateful child? Or when did I raise such a disrespectful child? Like, doesn't she or he realize, like, how much I've done for them? And then perhaps somewhere along the line, you know, the parent ends up, you know, sinning against the child as well. So in these moments, show mercy and forgive. And youth, you know, someone at school might spread a rumor about you, I don't know, or make a joke at your expense, you know, that you didn't find it funny, but, you know, it, and it really hurt you. Or someone might bully you. I don't know if you still get bullied these days. I don't know. But, Or your friend might accidentally like share your secret with someone else. All right, you're like, I trusted you with this. How could you tell someone that? Or perhaps you're at church as you're sharing your thoughts and discussion, and you're really being open and transparent. You know, so then someone in your group accuses you or judges you for what you just said. I know you guys probably grew up in this church together, and you've been with each other for a long time. You know each other really well. And because of that, you tend to be more open and vocal and perhaps more physical when you're together. And then sometimes things might get out of hand, right? So there's a saying, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. So in those moments, show mercy and forgive. Right? And for those, who are working, like perhaps there's this one colleague who always tries to take advantage of you or just treats you poorly. They have a bad attitude and, it's like a terrible work ethic or something like that. And it's just a pain. Show mercy, forgive. Right? So not too long ago, I heard a testimony from a friend whose spouse had run off for many, many years and in the process accumulated a lot of debt. And over the years, the spouse would mortgage the house like several times, and without my friend's request. And then as my friend was telling me the story, like tears would fall, and I couldn't even imagine how my friend would have felt or like how hurt they would have been, right? Like, your spouse just run off, and you're paying off their debt. You're paying off the debt, and you don't know if you can keep the house, and you don't know where they are, and they're just using more money, and what do you do in those circumstance? Right? And the only reason why my friend was able to continue to pay off those debts was able to and not like file for a divorce. Some people would have just said, why don't you just divorce the person? Then you don't have any legal requirement to do anything. You just leave, right? Just leave that person. And the only reason why was because my friend was the recipient of the mercy and forgiveness of God. Right? And when I heard this testimony, I was so encouraged. I was like, wow, this person went through something terrible. And because of God, that person was able to get through it. Right? There's no other way. And I was so encouraged to obey God more in my personal life as well. So, people are sinning and being sinned against 24/7. Okay, 24/7. Pain, suffering, and hurts are things that we will experience on a daily basis. So let me ask you, is there someone that you've thought of that you need to forgive? Perhaps that person is in this room. Perhaps that person is sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you. Maybe it's someone from school or from work or somewhere else. Maybe like some club or some activity, extracurricular activity. And I encourage you to forgive that person, to show mercy. Right? Perhaps you might want to give that person a text or a call or to meet that person face to face. I don't know. It's up to you how you want to do that. But this is what I want you to know. If you've forgot what I talked about for the whole time, I want you to remember this. Okay, I want you to know this. I'm going to show it up here as well. Okay. The kingdom of heaven, right, is merciful. And as people of God's kingdom, let us extend mercy and forgiveness to those around us from the heart, right, without limit, because of the great mercy and forgiveness that we have received. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is merciful. And as people of God's kingdom, let us extend mercy and forgiveness to those around us. Okay? From the heart. Okay? Really from the heart. Okay? Not just saying it or just doing the motions. And do it without limit. Don't count how many times I've forgiven you. Don't bring it up. Don't guilt the person. Don't shame the person. Right? Do that because of the great mercy and forgiveness that you have received. Okay? The great mercy and forgiveness of God. So, that's all I've had to share with you today. But So really think about that, process that, pray, sit and and have a time of reflection. And now let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, and you are a merciful God. You are a forgiving God. You forgave our debt, Lord, on the cross. You forgave our sins. You suffered for us. You died for us. Lord. And because of that, we can forgive other people. Lord, we have been forgiven. We have received your mercy. Lord, our debt has been paid, and we are so grateful for that. And help us to be as people in your kingdom to show mercy, to show forgiveness to those around us, even though when we know it's hard, even when we know it's difficult, even when we don't want to. Lord, help us to follow your command and to obey you. Lord, change our hearts from the inside. Lord, help us to be transformed. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to be doers of your word. As we hear this, as we go out today, let's do that. Let's follow it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. Don't wait till next week. Let's start now. Lord, thank you so much, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus.